first off, what a wonderful introduction. I want to thank everyone here at the center, and it's just been an amazing day. Also, in relation to Downhill Battle, I need to defer credit. This is actually, you know, I worked on this project with Downhill Battle. I had little to nothing to do with any of their other amazing projects. And Nick, who is with Downhill Battle and can speak more generally about who they are and what they do, is with us today. And if you need to ask about the organization, he's the man to talk to. I'm just kind of the guy behind this little project here.
Is Nick that smiling fellow over there?
Nick is with the blue shirt. Would you like to raise your hand, Nick? Here we go. So the project I'm here to talk about today is a project called Three Notes and Running. And it does piggyback on something that's been brought up a few times today, which is this specific court case, Bridgeport versus Dimension Films, right? Which deals with this very specific sample as used by NWA from a funkadelic song, from a Parliament song, actually, I guess. So I guess, let me talk a tiny bit about the case here. It has come up a few times already today, but essentially, in the court case, the court found that NWA did violate copyright law by using this sample in their song 100 Miles and Running. It overturned an earlier court's decision that because no reasonable juror, even one familiar with the works of George Clinton, would recognize the source of the sample without having been told of its source. So that was the original statement, and therefore clearance would not be required. A judge overturned that, and as a result, NWA, or a company representing NWA, or representing the song in this case, right? It is Bridgeport versus Dimension Films, not NWA. George Clinton versus NWA, right, which is obviously telling in a lot of respects, they would have to kind of clear the sample here. And as I understand, this is in appeals, and, it's come up a few times today, kind of a hot-button topic, and, it is the kind of impetus for this project. Before I talk about the project, we've been talking about this sample, and I do want to actually give you guys the opportunity to hear the sample and the song, because I think it's kind of important to the issue, or is kind of how I perceived it, which again is not from really a legal standpoint, but as an artist myself, more from a kind of, idea of what is kind of, a base artistic, kind of creative, maybe quasi-moral standpoint here. So I do want to just really briefly play both the original song and the sample here. So here we are going to hear, this is the three-note guitar riff that opens the song Get Off Your Ass and Jam. And so we'll hear this for a second, let me try that again.
Can we hear that again?
Okay. So this is the sample in question. When I heard this, it's a really good song. It's kind of an amazing guitar solo. But there is a certain kind of, again, Shoshana was so nice to give us this good introduction, mentioned Michael Hampton and his work with it. And, I do definitely respect his work, and, I sent him all these songs. But there is a certain kind of disposability about the sample to some degree, and this is something that attracted me to it. What do I mean by this? Well, it's this guitar riff. It could be this guitar riff. It could be someone screeching. It could be the sound of a car stopping. It's not the same as we often think of samples, right, where we have a whole composition lifted, and that composition having a certain identifiable beat to it, or rhythm, or melody, something like that, right? This is a screech. So then we have here, I'm going to play the clip from the NWA song. And so this is the 100 Miles and Running clip. And we'll listen carefully.
This is usually not good, because I'm first with my hands on a hot hood. I'm getting jacked by the you know who. When in the black and white, the capacity is two. But not alone with three more brothers. I'm street brothers, not wearing my tights because we're not stupid motherfuckers. They have to take our heads for what we said in the past. Point blank, they can kiss my black ass. I didn't stutter when I said, fuck the police.
Yeah, so. Did anyone hear it? No? I don't know. It's in there, right? And if you've heard it before, you can hear it. I'm going to play it again. It comes in after the line, in a black and white, the capacity is 2. And we'll listen, and in the background you're going to hear, again, this screeching sound that presumably is the sample in question. Otherwise, all this time and effort would not be paid to the case.
Chances are usually not good, because I'm frisked with my hands on a hot hood. I'm getting jacked by the you-know-who. When in a black and white, the capacity is 2. But not alone with 3 more brothers. I'll be street brothers, not wearing my tights, because we're not stupid motherfuckers. They have to take our heads for what we said in the past. Point blank, they can kiss my black ass. I didn't stutter when I said, fuck the police.
And I think it's actually especially difficult to hear in the acoustics of this space, because... But in general, it's very difficult to hear. And I do encourage you guys to go to the website, and you can explore the kind of intricacies of this a little bit more. So I heard about this lawsuit. I listened to the sample, and I thought it was kind of silly. I wasn't coming from a legal standpoint. You know, I learned probably more today about copyright law than I ever knew, and I'm totally indebted to all the amazing speakers today for that. It was coming from more of a just that doesn't seem right kind of standpoint. You know, I am an artist and a musician. A lot of my work does come from appropriating other works, literally, you know, either quoting or this kind of literal kind of sampling idea. And to me, this just seemed like something wasn't right here. In terms of the legality of these issues, in terms of sampling and all this stuff, it was something I'm not 100% on. I don't know all of the, you know, how I feel about everything, and I'm sure a lot of people in this room kind of share that opinion with me. I have a friend who is a musician, and I think he put it best when he said, I'm not sure how I feel about peer-to-peer or, you know, taking people's songs, but what I do know is that I download a ton of songs. Right? So I think I fall into that category a little bit in that there's something there, but I don't know. So anyway, let me get on to the project here. The project is called Three Notes and Running, and it is a riff off of the name of the NWA song, right, which is 100 Miles and Running here. And the idea was to essentially encourage people to take these three notes as used by NWA in this song. And what I wanted them to do was to create 30-second compositions based solely on these three notes. So the idea here would be, not only would we take this sample, and, you know, I say we meaning myself and everyone who is kind of a part of this project, not only would we take this sample and kind of transform it radically to maybe interrogate or prove certain issues around fair use or around kind of more legitimate forms of sampling, but we would actually take that to the extreme and create a 30-second composition where each of the songs was made only from the sample. Every sound in the song was in some way made by this 1.5-second three-note guitar riff, chopped up, looped, you know, sampled, resampled, filter, etc., etc. So essentially, you know, this was the idea, was, okay, so let's get a bunch of people to do this. I know it's possible. I've played with these technologies. I know how easy it is to transform this. Wouldn't it be great if we could get a bunch of people to engage this, and by doing so, you know, kind of interrogate these issues. So we created this website, Three Notes and Running here. And essentially all the website was a call for this idea here. The idea that let's all go out and take this sample and create a 30-second composition based on it. And you can see the date here, September 15th, 2004. That's when we launched it. And essentially, we had 6 weeks where we had this kind of open call for entries. And the idea was, we're going to provide you with the sample, right? We posted a kind of high-quality version of the sample on the webpage and download it, remix it however you see fit. Again, you can only use the sample as your source material. You can't bring anything else in. You can't play any original instruments, anything like that. And come up with 30-second compositions that we will then post on the site. It wasn't a contest per se. It was more just we're putting this idea out there and we're offering a forum for people to kind of display what they had done. It was an overwhelming success. In the 6 weeks that we kind of had the window open, we had 177 submissions, which works out to a little less than 90 minutes, an hour and a half of music created from this 1.5-second sample, which is pretty cool. So what I would like to do at this point is just play a few of these songs. I have a few that myself and some members of Downhill Battle selected as sort of exemplary in that they displayed something that we thought was unique or did something interesting with the sample. So I just have six songs. They're each 30 seconds, right? So it's not going to take very long. And I just want to take a second and listen to each of these, and I want to talk about them for a second as well. So I'm going to start with this track right here. This is called Parlay Mint, and I'm going to play this. Okay, so let's listen to that. We just listen to that, and then if we listen to this, right? Okay. So there's something different going on here, right? Again, I didn't, go to this guy's Pro Tools files or anything like that and make sure that he used only the sample, but I trusted him. I'm going to talk in a moment about this idea of how these kind of transformations are achieved using this material, but let's listen to a few more songs here. This one's pretty good. Okay, really nice, little electro-pop, kind of really well kind of sound design, right? Sounds like a full song there. Here's something a little bit more abstract, more of kind of a sound noise composition. This one is a little painful, but I think this one's sort of interesting. This was actually a remix of a remix where this artist actually played, I believe, 41 previous entries simultaneously to create sort of a... We've got one more here. This was the this is one of my favorites, and this is the only one that was kind of explicitly, or at least the way I'm reading it, as kind of explicit commentary here. We will hear. Star Spangled Banner riff in there, right? What's going on here? So we have all these songs. In some respect, right, the project was designed to kind of increase awareness of these issues, to kind of throw these things out there as a polemic, to interrogate these issues, kind of a celebration of sample-based music as a viable art form, kind of on a more you know, visceral level or something like that, as opposed to kind of this, the, you know, think of it in more legal terms. It was definitely an act of civil disobedience, you could say, in some regard, right? Knowing that, you know, albeit one that, as we've talked about today, you know, all of these legal issues kind of only come into play when you're above the radar, right? And this project, you know, probably below the radar, or each of these individual contributors didn't have to be concerned about getting a you know, a letter from Bridgeport or whatever. But, you know, it was in that respect an act of you know, civil disobedience, if only on a small scale. In addition here, though, what gets brought up is this kind of other idea of sampling and the sort of forms that sampling can take. What we saw in those examples were songs that were using the sample. In those examples, we saw songs that were using the sample in a way radically different than either the kind of standard sampling technique that is often vilified, right, where maybe, I'm not saying the standard, this is the standard, but often the way sampling is portrayed, where a whole song is lifted and then, say, someone raps over it, right, which, you know, is often vilified, the idea of, right, Puff Daddy, right, released tons of tracks about 8 years ago that use this technique where you just take a 70s song and rap over it. And a lot of people had problems with that as a form of creative expression, right? So that's one way of thinking of sampling. We have another example, as shown in the NWA song, where we have this kind of collage-based aesthetic, right? Where we're taking all of these different samples, we're combining them together to create an original composition. And I think someone earlier mentioned this idea of a continuum. And I think that these are maybe, you know, not two extremes on the continuum, but they're quite far apart in terms of, you know, the former example and then this NWA example. What we have going on here in almost all of these songs, though, is a different use of samples, where it's not about necessarily lifting the song for its original sound, or about taking the sound and mixing it in with other sounds to create original composition, but rather the sound here is being used just for its materiality to create a new sound. Right, that's how we're able to take this screechy riff and turn it into that first song we hear, right? This kind of melancholy keyboard riff. Because essentially what we're doing is we're taking this sound and we're dealing with it on its very digital level. We're chopping it up to the point where it doesn't even matter anymore where it came from. And we can use that with these sophisticated tools to create compositions that really have nothing to do with the original compositions, right? So what I want to do in regards to this is I want to demonstrate this really quickly and kind of, you know, sloppily, because I'm you know, I can't hold a candle to any of these songs, but I'm going to do my best here. And I'm going to demonstrate the sort of techniques that might allow us to take a riff like this and transform it into something so radically different. So if maybe we could bring the lights down just a little bit for this part. I'm going to be using two pieces of software here to take this sample, and I'm going to chop it up and really quickly here, hopefully knock on wood, if nothing crashes, create a really, you know, quick and easy song based on this rule set. So what I have here is I have a program called Peak that is open, and this is a waveform editor. This allows you to take the riff, in our case, quote unquote, the riff here, which is this 1.5 second sample, and we can do a variety of, we can perform a variety of manipulations on it to create something new, right? So if we play the sample here, we see what we're seeing visually is a visualization of the waveform, and it's a stereo waveform. That's why we have two, left and right. And essentially, this represents amplitude, volume of the song over time. And if we play it, we see that kind of thing. Okay. So what I want to do here is I want to take this and I want to somehow transform this sample into a very basic kick and snare sound, right? A bass drum and a snare sound, like kind of the basis, you could say, for a lot of music, rock and roll music, beat-driven music, the kick and the snare. So first of all, I'm going to start off with a kick, right, which is a kick drum on the 1 and 3 in general, and it's a very bassy sound. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to take a little snippet, and I'm going to kind of intentionally do this haphazardly, right, to kind of foreground how much it's about this software and how much it's about these processes and how little it is about this sample, right? So I'm just going to select a portion here, take something a little bit longer. Okay, I'm going to copy this. I'm going to paste it into a new document so I can take this little sliver and begin to perform some transformations on it. So I'm just going to copy it, open something new, and I paste it in. Okay, so now we have just this little sliver here. What I'm going to do now is I'm simply going to take this and I'm going to pitch it down. I'm going to take it and I'm digitally going to take the sound and make it sound much, much lower here. I'm going to come up here and I'm going to say change the pitch, and I'm going to change this by negative 4,800 cents here, which is essentially four octaves for those of you who know music stuff. I'm going to say we won't preserve the duration. What that's going to do is it's going to stretch out the sample as it pitches it down. I click OK. I play this now. Okay, so already we're pretty far removed from that first source, right? We're not quite to the sound we're going for. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this and I'm going to apply a gain envelope on it, which is just going to simply say, okay, it starts out loud and gets quieter. And this is a technique often used by electronic musicians, by people who play with sound digitally, to replicate certain natural sounds, right? The way a kick drum actually looks, if you look at its frequencies, it starts off and then very quickly dies. We have something that looks sort of like that, is what a kick drum looks like. I'm going to click change here, and now we hear. So now I've taken this sample, right, the screeching riff, I've isolated it, I've pitched it down, I did this little transformation on it, and now we've got something that, you know, visualize, we're thinking about this sound, it's coming close, right? I'm going to say this is good enough, and I'm going to save this. And I'm going to do the same thing now, but we're going to create this snare sound. A snare sound is, you know, a snare drum. In general, it's a lot of noise. So what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to, again, copy this, create something new. How am I going to make this into a snare? Well, maybe I'll take it and I'm going to pitch it down a little bit the same way we did with our bass drum, not nearly as much here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to apply another gain envelope here, something that kind of replicates what a snare drum might look like, which is it's flat at the top and then dies really quickly. So that's kind of a high-pitched snare, but it's kind of the general sound we're going for. It almost sounds like a rim shot in this case, like you're hitting the rim of a drum. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to save this as another sound. So now that I've got these two radically new sounds created from this original riff here, I'm going to bring them into another program. I'm going to use a program called Reason here, which will allow me to take these samples and sequence them into something more song-like. So Reason is kind of a sort of off-the-shelf, all-in-one music studio sort of software. And I've got it set up here so that I've got a little drum machine that will allow me to sequence drum sounds. I'm going to load into this drum machine the two samples that we just created. And what we're seeing in this area down here is we're seeing this grid that's going to allow me to map these out into a rhythm. I'm going to just really basically here, let's play this, and I can map this out as we go. So what was that? 5 minutes? I'm not quite sure. But let's go back here for a second. Just a reminder. And then here we are. So now what allowed me to create this thing here? I would argue that this is a lot more about these two pieces of software, my familiarity with them, my familiarity with certain kinds of ways of composing music, than it is about my original source material, right? My original source material, in this case, is sort of incidental. So again, a process here that has more to do with the technology, the way the technology is used, than the original sample, right? What this example here is still on the really primitive end compared to those compositions we heard, but by taking this basic idea, we're chopping it up, maybe we're repitching it, maybe we're using some more sophisticated kinds of software-based synthesis to take this sample and stretch it into something like an organ sound or into a more sophisticated rhythmic pattern, something like that. But at the heart of it is the idea of the kind of technology here dictating what we can do with it. So we have an interesting, all day long we've been talking about this idea of derivative works. We have an interesting situation here where we can talk about this being derivative not necessarily of a certain source, but of the kinds of things that people make using software like this, right? If anything, you could accuse me of doing something really basic using this kind of off-the-shelf program that anyone could do, which sounds like this again. Okay, that's kind of where I want to wrap it up. I encourage you guys to check out the website, www.downhillbattle.com/threenotes. Obviously, entries are closed. There are 177 songs on there, and there's a pretty easy interface to hear them all. And yeah, thank you all.